For a long time now, I've spent many Sunday mornings here with the children. Sometimes, when I was with the younger children, if I had a few spare minutes at the end of our time together, I would grab one of my favourite books. Now, this book was called Cecil the Sheep. Now, this book is based on today's passage, Luke 15, 1-7. So when I realised that we would be looking at these verses today, and it was school holidays, I thought, what a perfect excuse to share Cecil with you this morning. So we're actually going to watch Cecil. There it is. Here we go. Takes me back to Kingfisher days. Can you see with me in front? What sort of animals does this man have? Rabbits? No, he doesn't have rabbits. Giraffes? Well, he might have giraffes, but they don't get a mention in this book. Sheep? Yes, he has sheep. 100 sheep, including Cecil. Yes, Cecil. Love his shoes. Now, one day Cecil was daydreaming. Boring, boring, boring. All I do is hang around with sheep, eat grass, wander down the river for a bit of a drink and eat more grass. Maybe I could run away and get a bike or join a band. Cool. Cecil looked right. Cecil looked left. He jumped over the rock and hid. From behind the rock, he snuck behind the tree. And behind the tree, he ran over the hills. To the mountains. Yes, the mountains. He reached the mountains and discovered that they were high and steep. Cecil was not deterred. He began climbing higher and higher. And he got steeper and steeper and steeper. He climbed and climbed until he couldn't climb up and he couldn't climb down. Poor Cecil. Cecil was stuck. You can tell I've read this a few times. He sat on the edge of the ledge and started thinking, I could shout for help, but what will happen if the shepherd finds me? He might whack me with a big stick. Crack! Then grab me by the leg and drag me home. Bump, bump, bump. And tie me to a tree without any dinner. Back home, the shepherd was counting his sheep. 1 Terry, 2 Kevin, 3 Bronwyn, 4 Lucinda, 96 Meredith, 97 the other Meredith, 98 Amir, 99 Amelia. 1, 2, 3, 4. 96, 97, 98, 99. Cecil was missing. The shepherd ran to the rock and found footprints leading behind the tree. He ran behind the tree and found footprints leading over the hills. To the mountains. Yes, the mountains. The mountains were high and steep. The shepherd climbed and climbed higher and higher and he got steeper and steeper. Then he thought he couldn't climb any further and wasn't sure if he could go back. He heard a noise. Bah! Cecil was saved. What did the shepherd do? Did he whack Cecil with the stick? Crack? No. Did he grab Cecil by the leg and drag him down the mountains? Bump, bump, bump. No. He was so glad that he had found his lost sheep that he put Cecil on his shoulders and carried him home. And when they got home, did the shepherd tie Cecil to a tree without any dinner? No. Instead, he threw a huge party and everyone stayed up way past their bedtime. Cecil, the lost sheep, had been found. Now, I wonder if you can guess which is one of my favourite lines in this book. You can't guess, Stacey. Can anyone, any of the kids, guess what my favourite line in the book is? No? No guesses? Not even one? No. No, not Baha. Well, it's actually the one where Cecil considers joining a rock band. I love that bit. Now, we all know that it does not mention a rock band in the passage in the Bible. So I thought, just to refresh our memories, we would read Luke 15, 1:17 together. Have I got this one? Yep. By this time, a lot of men and women of doubtful reputation were hanging around Jesus, listening intently. Their Pharisees and religious scholars were not pleased, not pleased at all. They growled, "He takes in sinners and eats meals with them, treating them like old friends." Their grumbling triggered this story. Suppose one of you had 100 sheep and lost one. Wouldn't you leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the lost one until it was found? When found, you can be sure you would put it across your shoulders, rejoicing, and then when you got home, call in your friends and neighbours, saying, "Celebrate with me, I've found my lost sheep." Count on it. There's more joy in heaven over one sinner's rescued life than over 99 good people in no need of rescue. And to be honest, I am a little disappointed that there's no band mentioned in this passage. But seriously, I hope that as we look at this passage together, although knowing that it is very familiar to most of us, it will be a time when our thoughts can rest on the fact that we have a loving God. We are all precious to him, and everyone is welcome in God's family. Now, if any of the children haven't got some activity sheets on Cecil, there's some over there, you can go over and grab them, and a container of texters and take them over to your seat. There's lots of different things there. Right, let's start. So, no rock bands. But verse 7 does describe a party that happens in heaven every time that someone decides to follow Jesus and his way. Also, these verses in Luke describe a gathering hosted by Jesus. And it was at this gathering where the religious leaders of the day criticized him for inviting all the wrong types of people. It was one of those gatherings, and Jesus did make a habit of hosting these gatherings, that Jesus told the story of the lost sheep. So let's take a little closer look at this party. Who were the people that Jesus invited and chose to eat with, spend time with, and share stories with? According to these verses, the VIP guests were men and women who were labelled as having doubtful reputations, the sinners and the tax collectors. These sinners, who were they? Some people disagree as to who they precisely were, the poor. However, those labelled as poor were not only people who had little money. It was often referred to as those of low social status. This included the tax collectors. And whether they were corrupt or not, they were often disliked because they were collecting money for Herod or the Romans. Now, I'm not sure about you, but when I think of tax collectors in the Bible, I think of Matthew, a tax collector by occupation, but also one of Jesus' disciples. But also, when I think of the people Jesus was spending time with, the poor, I find myself asking, who do we consider to be the poor, the people without a voice in our community? I think this is a very important question to ask, but one that we won't be exploring this morning. Jesus began his earthly ministry when he was about 30 years old, and I am aware that I'm really simplifying things here. But during this time, he issued two calls. The first was those who were yet to meet him, and he invited them to come and see. Then the second call was to those who saw their need for him, and he invited them to come and follow him and his ways. In Luke, as Jesus was on his road trip towards Jerusalem, we find Jesus calling to different groups of people, to come and see, to find out who he was, why he'd come, and to discover what the kingdom of God looked like. And it is here that Jesus tells the story of the lost sheep, the first of three stories found in Luke 15 that tells of the kingdom of God. It is here where not only Jesus' words describe this, but also his actions. Jesus' invitation to these people, labelled by the religious leaders as having doubtful reputations or character, by Jesus choosing to spend time with them, to eat with them, was a powerful symbol to them and to those watching what the kingdom of God was like. Everyone is welcome in God's family. Now, the religious leaders criticised Jesus for many reasons, and to be honest, at this time, Jesus was rocking their world. But we're only going to look at the reason described in Luke 15, verse 1 to 7. In this, we read that the religious leaders were grumbling because of the character of the people he was inviting, and we mentioned this before. And according to them, this was wrong, especially if he really was who he claimed to be, the Son of God. And it was in response to the grumbling of these leaders that Jesus told the story of the lost sheep. But before we go comment any more on the story of the lost sheep, I'm going to take a little detour here and ask a question. Who does not like parties? Is there anyone that does? Oh, one person does not like parties. Is there a reason? Tell me later. Now, one scholar, N.T. Wright, describes a party in his book, Luke for Everybody, which I discovered when doing some reading about these verses. Now, here Wright describes a time when he moved into a new home in a new area, and for the first few days he enjoyed the tranquility he was desiring and the peace that he expected that he would experience when he moved into this area. However, on the first Saturday night, a party started down the street. Fireworks, loud music, which went into the early hours of the night. And Wright wrote that he was appalled. This was not what he had signed up for. This was not what he had expected. And he wondered if this was going to happen every single Saturday night. But later on, he found out that this celebration was a once-a-year event held by the local yacht club. And after that night, living there returned to exactly what he thought and expected it to be. Here's another party, another celebration. But this time, it's a celebration that my family and myself were invited to, a 21st birthday party. It was a great night, which even now when I think about it, it makes me smile. I enjoyed spending time with friends, eating good food, and dancing. Dancing to well-known, old, familiar songs. It was a party where I was reminded how comfortable and enjoyable it is to listen to old, familiar tunes. But thinking back to Jesus' party or gathering, it was different to the two parties described here. Not only were the character of Jesus' guests considered questionable, Jesus was not playing an old familiar song. Jesus' words and actions were conveying a completely different message. Jesus was declaring that heaven was having a great noisy party every time a single sinner saw the light and began to follow Jesus' way. The angels were celebrating in heaven. And the reason the angels were celebrating in heaven is the sinners are seeing their need for Jesus and turning to him away from their old ways. And of course, the religious leaders did not think that there was anything wrong with them. The religious leaders at the time were listening to an entirely different song. They believed that the temple in Jerusalem was where God was meant to live. The temple was the place on earth where heaven and earth actually met. They saw heaven as God's space and earth as our space, and they believed the temple was the one spot on earth the two overlapped. So according to the Pharisees, these religious leaders, the closest thing you could get to heaven was in the temple. And the temple required strict purity from the priests. And the closest that the non-priests could get to copying heaven was to maintain strict purity in every aspect of their life. For the leaders, nothing short of adopting standards of purity and law following would do. How different is this message to the one being spoken and demonstrated by Jesus in these verses? Imagine what Jesus' guests thought when hearing that they didn't have to earn God's love or Jesus' respect. Jesus loved coming looking for them and celebrated finding them. Everyone is welcome in his kingdom. So let's look a little closer at the story of the lost sheep. What can this story tell us about God and his kingdom? The first thing that stands out for me when I read this story is that God loves each one of us equally. He has no favourites. We are all precious to him. In the passage, the only difference between the sheep that had already been found and the one the person was looking for was that it was lost. We are all loved. Only some are yet to meet Jesus. There is no gifts and abilities that we have been given, achievements made, social status, life choices made, which make any of us any more or less loved by God. He loves us all equally. And when we accept Jesus, we come aware of our identity in him. We are his sons and daughters, who he continues to love unconditionally. Now, when I was preparing this message and I reached this point, I did wonder, how often do we take time out just to reflect on the fact that we are his children, his sons and daughters? To think on how much God loves us and how much he loves those who are yet to meet him. And how there is nothing we have to do to earn his love. And I know these words can sound simple and so familiar. And I can remember as a child singing the song, Jesus loves me, this I know, because the Bible tells me so. But I don't think the simplicity of these words should ever take away from their significance and the importance of just letting our thoughts rest upon them. But secondly, what stands out to me when reading this story is how God actively pursues those who don't know him and then celebrates when he finds them. Jesus portrays this by telling us of how when one sheep is lost, a person goes out to search for it, even though he already has a large number of sheep. The actions of the person in the story don't suggest that the person thinks, well, there is a good number of sheep in the pen, it looks pretty full. What about if we just cut our losses and spend time with the sheep that we already have? Also, the person's actions do not suggest that he was considering waiting, hoping that the sheep would accidentally find its way to him. And we are not told that he makes a long and detailed assessment of the sheep's attributes or character and then makes the decision to go out and find him. And also, we know that the person did not punish the sheep when it was found for being lost or for some of the life choices the sheep may have made when it was lost. Here I cannot help but think of the storyline of Cecil in the sheep that we read earlier. Now in this story, Jesus tells how the person searches for the lost sheep just because it's lost and he loves it. Then when he finds it, he carries it home, happy it is found. So happy that he invites the whole community and throws a party to celebrate. Now, I grew up, got a little story here, on a wheat and sheep farm in the Mallee in Victoria. And I have memories of helping Dad with my siblings bringing the sheep from the paddock to the pens at the shearing shed, before we were made redundant when Dad bought a good working dog. But before this, we would help Dad by running or walking behind the sheep. And this was the days before we got a motorbike. And I remember how hard and long this would take. It was tiring. It was okay if you could get two or three sheep to run in the right direction and then the others in the mob would follow and go through the gate. But it was so much harder to get a single sheep into the yard. Often the sheep would try and go in one direction and then run in the other direction, except for the direction you wanted it to run. And when you finally got that stray sheep into the pen, you were exhausted and you were not very happy with that sheep at all. And this sheep was only stray. It wasn't lost. It was still in the same paddock, just going not in the exact directions that we wanted it to go. And I can't even imagine searching for a lost sheep and then when finding it, put it on my shoulders and carry it home. How much courage, strength and determination would that take? And then be joyful and want to throw a party? Don't think so. I am very thankful that my childhood feelings and experiences with sheep do not reflect God's love for us. I'm also glad that the message on this card that I came across a couple of days ago, round them up, what, all of them, does not reflect God's love for us. However, to me, when I think of Psalm 139, it describes the love of God found in this parable. And I'm sharing a section of the psalm with you today. As many years ago as a young mum, when reading this psalm, God found me. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, then here your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me. Even the darkness will be not dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for the darkness is as light to you. But what I also love about God is he does not only pursue us until he finds us, but he continues to pursue us. I love it how the Holy Spirit continues to want to reveal himself to us in all sorts of ways. For me, every week in my Connect group, we read a passage in the Bible, and while doing this, we ask the question, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to us today in this passage? And each Connect group that meets has been asking this question while using slightly different ways of engaging with the Word. In our group, when we're seeking what God is saying to us, we have been asking four key questions. And these are, God, what is this passage saying about God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? What is this passage saying about people and humanity? What is this passage saying about myself? And we ask God to show us what's going on inside us, our desires and our behaviours. And then we ask, what is one way in which I can respond to God and what he's saying to me in this passage? How wonderful is it that we can have a relationship with a living God who loves us and desires to reveal himself to us every day. To finish up, from reading the story of the lost sheep, I hope that you've been reminded that Jesus loves coming after those who don't know him, and he celebrates when he finds them. But I also know that the Holy Spirit gives every person the choice to accept God's love. But his love for us and for those who are yet to meet Jesus is unconditional. It always remains the same. It never changes. And also, I hope that you are able to let your thoughts rest on the fact that every single person is equally precious to God. Whether we have met Jesus or are yet to meet him, the life choices we make our personal achievements, our gifts, our talents and abilities we have been given does not determine how much God loves us. He has no favourites. We are all precious to Him. And although I'm still a little sad that there's no rock band mentioned in the story of the lost sheep, I do know that when we meet Jesus and join His family, it is like dancing to the words of a new song. We become aware of our identity in Christ. We can experience His love, His grace, and freedom. And we are asked to live in a radical new way in response of our love to Jesus, who first loved us. A way of living that can be reminded of when reading the book of Luke, which embraces such things as diversity and unity, forgiveness and mercy, generosity and love to one another, to those who we interact with on a daily, during our daily lives, and to those who are yet, and to those who don't. I'll get emotional here. I'll go back a line. And to show generosity and love even to those who don't like us. And Jesus was the first to demonstrate this radical way of living to us. Thank you.